Hashtag Randy Pants.
I feel like Rand is clearly listening to this podcast at this point.
Welcome to the Lions of Liberty podcast. Here is your host, your guide, your shining beacon of liberty, Mark Claire.
All right, guys, we are back here. I am in the Lions of Liberty Studios here in sunny Los Angeles, California, with my confidant, Brian McWilliams. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What am I your confidant for? You don't tell me any secrets.
Well, none that we're going to talk about on air.
Nah, I guess that's
there you go, or else they wouldn't be secrets. And no, we talk about Rand Paul stuff, because this is, of course, another edition of...
Rand Paul Pluses.
And Minuses.
Rand Paul Pluses and Minuses, that's right. Our bi-weekly Rand Paul focus show, I guess you might call it. And are you aware that this is the 159th episode of this program, and that, therefore, you can find the show notes for this show at...
LionsofLiberty.com/Rand. Oh, no, LionsofLiberty.com/159.
Yes. And you can also go to that other address he gave you, LionsofLiberty.com/Rand, for the entire Rand Paul Pluses and Minuses archive, both audio and written, because he publishes a weekly column.
Yeah, we've got it all, baby.
We got it all. All forms of media ready for your consumption, Rand-related. Now, let's get into, obviously, the what's on everybody's mind here in when talking about politics or not is the recent events in Paris. Obviously, it's one of the most horrific terrorist acts we've ever seen. I mean, just the way it was coordinated in several different locations. I mean, as the news came out about this, I think... rational people all over the world are just horrified that there are humans in the world that commit these acts. And but you've tied this in this week into the prospects for Rand Paul, how it's going to sort of affect his campaign. And right from the get-go, you talk about how you probably don't think it's not destined to be a good thing for his campaign.
No, I mean, I don't know how it could be. It's immediately, as soon as this happened, I thought... oh my God, this is a horrible tragedy. And then, of course, the second thing I thought was, wow, this is really going to screw Rand. Because, I mean, he's the only one that's been in any debates that's really said we need a different kind of looking at, different outlook in foreign policy. We need to not be as aggressive. We need to not have a stronger presence in the Middle East. And we need to be, you know, looking at the consequences of interfering in the Middle East. So then when you see, you know, especially after going in during the debate and that back and forth with Marco Rubio, where they were sparring on, you know, budgetary items for the military, going into more debt to fund additional military operations, and how Rubio called him an isolationist. This all comes together to kind of just paint Rand as a guy who, you know, is not going to allay the fears of the broader American populace.
Well, if you don't want to add $1 trillion to the military budget, then you're an isolationist.
Right, clearly.
Even if you, like Rand, want to increase that budget, because he's no Ron Paul here. He's not trying to slash the military. Rand Paul's budgets actually do include increases for the military.
Yeah,
the
$191 billion.
All right, the difference is he is paying for them in the sense that he's marked areas he'd like to cut in order to fund it more, and he's not funding it to the vast extent that Marco Rubio and other neocons are asking that it be funded at.
Right. I do love it's like, you know, just putting the in perspective on a personal level. It'd be like if you called me an isolationist when I was deeply in debt on my credit card and refused to go out to the bar, and that makes me an isolationist as well.
Let's talk about that exchange. I mean, because there is some point to be made in the general sense when, you know, when these politicians say, well, you know, if we don't have an economy, if the government's not protecting us, it doesn't matter what our economy looks like. And that's true to an extent. I mean, if we're going to have government and we're going to have it protecting us, I mean, it should be equipped to protect us. The question just seems to be, you know, the implication is that if you don't agree with Marco Rubio's budget, you don't want to protect us. And that just seems a little silly to me, especially knowing how much our military is doing all around the world, how much it's meddling in areas that we know are not of national security interests, and or maybe they are, depending on how you define national security. If you define it as protecting the interests of certain companies, then yeah, it is in the interest of quote-unquote national security. But no, there's no doubt that, as we saw in Paris, there are bad actors in the world, and it can be argued that there is some role for the government to protect us from them if they know about specific threats somewhere. Does that make any sense? Am I just rambling?
It was a little bit of a rambling, but I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, there is always going to be a place where you say, okay, there's specific threat that we can identify and we can say that is a threat. We can identify it as a direct threat, but it's not going to be something where it's a terrorist operation where there is no, you know, like this has been something we've talked about a little bit before, at least in writing, is that there's no like, we are attacking this country. This is their military. These are the strategic goals. That doesn't happen with this kind of enemy. So to say we need to invest another $1 trillion to be safe, I don't really know how you're going to achieve that, especially when this is a group that's spread out across multiple countries, hiding it most of the time, and you don't know who half of them are. And then also, I just want to bring up the fact that, you know, and Rand Paul said this too, we're already spending so much money on the military. We could reduce the amount we're spending probably by a couple of trillion or whatever it is, and then still have the biggest
military.
Well,
we spend $650 billion, so probably not by
a
couple
trillion. Well, maybe not by a trillion. Well, let's just say.
Let's try to be remotely accurate with
the
numbers.
Yeah, I know.
As much as we do love the rhetorical tool of hyperbole here on the show, we certainly do.
We're high on hyperbole.
There you go.
But you could still reduce it immensely and still have quite a large military, especially, as you said, if you stop doing all of these military operations across the globe. If you want to be safe, wouldn't it make the most sense to protect your own borders, to come home and have troops here that could protect the country in case it was attacked, instead of going out and meddling and causing more groups like ISIS to crop up?
More trouble. Looking at the history of our invasion of Iraq, we don't need to go through the whole thing. We've had Scott Horton on and some other people to discuss that. And Ben Swan's done a piece about the rise of ISIS. And a lot of this does come from American intervention in the area and NATO countries intervening in the area. And countries like Saudi Arabia are allies who fund a lot of these extreme groups. So the whole thing is a freaking mess. In an ideal world, we could easily identify bad actors and maybe have reasonable steps against them. But in the world we live in now, it's hard to say who the bad actors are, because half the bad actors, the money comes from our allies. The money comes from us. The money comes from CIA operations. The whole thing's just a damn mess. And yeah, I don't even know what my point is, because it's crazy.
Well, Rand made the point.
But at least he's the only one saying it's a mess,
right?
And no one else does.
And he did.
So that's
my
point.
And you know, to Rand's credit, he did not back off on his stance. I was really worried, honestly, that he was going to kind of flip-flop about it and pull back from his stance that the U.S. and other countries have kind of, you know, have instigated this because of constant meddling, arming. You know, he reiterated in an interview with Fox right after this happened. They asked him, you know, what would President Paul do about ISIS? And he reiterated that, you know, he would not be one to increase military spending immensely and put us into debt to increase our military actions there threefold. And he doubled down on the fact that we created ISIS, essentially. You know, it's by our actions. It's through our weapons. So, you know, I gave him a Paul us. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
For that. And, you know, I was frankly impressed that he stood by his guns. But one more thing I wanted to add real quick. Well,
why don't you just detail a little more what he really said? Because I don't watch these clips you post. No, I'm just kidding. But for people that didn't see the interview on Fox, what would his plan actually be? I mean, how does he address? Because obviously, regardless of how ISIS was created, it exists now, and it is some threat to people in the world, including possibly Americans. So what did he actually say about how he would address it?
Well, here's the thing. He did not actually come out and say, here is what I will concrete do. Here is how I would handle ISIS. All right, you know, he didn't say we're going to bomb this or we're not going to bomb that. He just reiterated the fact that the U.S. foreign policy in general is kind of a cause of this.
And that's why I'm going to give him a minus.
All right, I can understand that.
For that reason, not because I don't agree with the first part of his statements, but that's the criticism he's going to get. And it's a valid criticism, because it's one thing to point out the source of a problem, but then to not have at least some statement about what you should do now. And he has statements in other areas. I'm not saying he doesn't, but you know, you really need to address how we should handle this now. Someone needs to. And especially in the political realm we're in, I mean, yeah, too many people are going to jump to bomb them and whatever, because that's the barbaric instinct.
Well,
the
easy answer is to double down. And that's where I could understand why he doesn't want to necessarily come out and say, you know, well, here's my plan. I want to do this, especially, you know, a day after the attacks. You know, as president, you'd have contingency plans in place for a lot of this stuff already, I'm guessing. So maybe he should have that in place already as a speaking point. But, you know, like I said, the easy solution is to say, we're going to attack them. We're going to double down. We're going to we're going to put boots on the ground and get back in there. And we're going to support France through all this. And, you know, that's the easy answer. So if you don't have that point of view, I can see why he would be shy to express, you know, his point, which might be, we're going to pull out, or we're going to, you know, we're not going to double down. We're not going to reinvest in anything, you know? So I would be curious to see what his actual plan would be. We haven't seen it yet.
All right. Well, I'm glad that Paul does seem to be the only one that even recognizes that there is a cause to ISIS other than evil in the world happening to crop up and happening to hate us. There is a story here, and there's a story, and that story basically tells the tale of the U.S. intervening and basically creating rights violations in these other countries. We talk about human rights, we talk about the United States defending human rights, but a lot of these groups rise through the anger and the hatred that comes from other people having their rights violated by the U.S. military, by their houses being bombed, by their families being killed by drones.
Well, which is what France just did as well. I mean, this response is basically in reaction to France, as one of our allies in the region.
Who are just going bomb frenzy right
they
now.
They went, yep, they really, over the last few months, have upped their military attacks, you know, I think it's like 3, 4, 5-fold. So they've been bombing the hell out of them. And, you know,
and that's
you
prior
see the
to this
response.
Weekend as well.
That's
right?
Prior to this weekend, exactly.
Right. So, and now that doesn't mean if they're fighting some just cause that, you know, just because someone strikes back at you, you stop doing it. But then we have to examine whether the cause was just in the first place as well. Right. And either way, no one is supporting ISIS, to be clear.
No, we are not in support of ISIS.
I don't think we should
ISIS.
Have to restate that. I give ISIS a giant minus.
Yeah, a huge minus
for the record on that one.
Mine ISIS.
All right, so and this kind of takes us back, talking about going back to the debate, and you did a whole special edition of your Rand Pluses and Minuses column because of Rand's debate performance that week, but we discussed all of that on our GOP reaction show. Go tick back to your feed a couple episodes to episode 157, and you can listen to that whole hour-long debacle. Well, that one wasn't the debacle. The debacle was more the Democratic debate, but...
Yeah, that was a debacle.
you got Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton talking for an hour, and some kind of robot up there. I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Oh, man! He would just yell his own name every about 3 or 4 minutes.
And to listen to that, head over to episode 158. We're pumping out the political commentary right now because it's not just time of year. It's that time of every 4 years because after this election cycle, and people wonder why we focus on this stuff so much, but it's because this is when people are paying attention. This is what people are paying attention to. And a lot of people that are paying attention right now, we're going to lose them in a couple months. We're going to lose them in January. Well, I guess that's not a couple months. Man, there's a whole other year plus for this election.
Yeah, it's
Lord.
I feel like they started earlier this year. Somehow.
I don't know. We definitely, I've definitely watched more debates already than ever in my life.
Yeah.
Total.
Most definitely.
Anywho, but let's get back to Rand and Rubio because they have had more spats in the wake of these ISIS attacks following up in the last debate. So what is this one related to? It's about this Gang of Eight. They're the people that brought in the immigration bill that I guess, you tell me. You're the expert.
Well, essentially, I mean, this is a couple of years ago now, but this is Rubio is one of the few, the only conservative to work with Democrats on an immigration bill that basically was called the Gang of Eight. And what essentially it kind of loosened some of the immigration standards and screening practices, I guess. So in the wake of that
it was actually a specific amendment that Rand Paul had tried to put in the bill, which would have enhanced screening requirements from people entering the country. But Rubio, I guess, blocked that amendment or opposed it.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Here's the quote. I introduced a bill or an amendment to the immigration bill that would have provided for more scrutiny of people coming into our country. Refugees, immigrants, students, Paul said when asked about his response to Friday's attacks. They would have had background checks. They would have had a much higher degree of scrutiny. The point I made was that, you know, I introduced this bill to Rubio, and then Rubio and Schumer and all the authors voted against his conservative amendments, and that was a mistake. So Rand's using this as a means to turn the tables on Rubio in a small way, at least, and bring up not only the fact that Rubio changed and was kind of siding with these Democrats in immigration, which is, of course, a big Republican issue, but also in the wake of it being discovered that one of the immigrants or one of the passports that was used in the attack was from a Syrian refugee.
Which there is some question about whether that's true.
There is some question about it.
Both from the legitimate side that it might not be his or it might be a fake passport, all the way down through Alex Jones' conspiracy that it's a fake passport, and how could there be a passport intact if one guy blew themselves up? And that seems rather like a coincidence that they would conveniently find this passport. I'm not saying what's true. I'm just saying there's questions about it. That's all.
We'll leave it at that. There are
various conspiracy websites.
Yeah. So Paul's using the opportunity, like I said, to kind of go after Rubio. And he additionally has kind of put something in where, after attacking Rubio for this, you know, this lack of scrutiny through this Gang of Eight bill, he also has introduced his own bill, which is essentially.
Right, so what do you give this comment about Rubio first on your Paul Lust?
I'll give it a Paul Lust.
I like how you thought about it when you already published it.
I know. I give it a false because I like the way he's trying to turn the tables on Rubio and point out that, you know, he had weakened the security measures of the country. So I give him a Paulus for that.
Well, I will give this a Paulus just because I like the fact that he's at least calling out Rubio is sort of in the current context of, like, you're the one that's talking about how we need to have so much security and increase the military spending, but you just wanted to let anybody in under this bill, and I tried to have some screening. So the fact that he's sort of pointing out some hypocrisies in Rubio's we need security mantra, which, you know, when this is at least one thing, regardless of your thoughts on immigration, it would be more secure. I mean, one way or the other, it's more secure when you're screening people more. Right. I mean,
and you think there's no real, I mean, well, I don't understand why the reason was they kind of rejected that amendment in the first place. If you want, you know, he's not saying you have to kill this bill, this immigration bill, but he's just saying, you know, a little bit more scrutiny would be good. So
we'll give that a Paulus.
Paulus for that.
Because I'm feeling nice.
Now, there's something else that happened, and this is directly related to this advanced scrutiny. Paul introduced a new bill, and I'm not sure of the title yet. It wasn't available to me at the time. But essentially, this new bill that he's introducing is going to be calling for an immediate halt to all immigration from any nations. There's like 30 nations in this bill he's going to list that are known for, quote unquote, jihadist, you know, tendencies, or a decent amount of jihadist peoples that are there, or terrorists that are there. So anybody from those regions are put on a, you know, this hold until new security measures can be put into place.
So this includes refugees. This includes
everybody.
I guess people even students, that have work visas to come over.
Work visas, students, anybody. Even people that are already, let's say they're already in the immigration pipeline. They've been waiting for years. They're doing everything the right way. They're just trying to get the hell out of these countries that are, you know, a lot of them are going to be war-torn or having their own difficulties. They want to come to the United States in the right way. This is going to halt them from coming in for an indeterminate amount of time. And Paul, you know, he has these certain bills put into place where, or certain requests, and it's, you know, heightened security background checks. They have to have, you know, he wants the DNS or the DHS to have a whole new, you know, tracking program that's going to be put into place. And of course, the question is, how long is all that going to take to actually design and implement, especially when we're talking about the government here? I mean, it could be months, it could be years. And all these people from these 30 countries, this, you know, are basically being denied entry to our country because of this minority terrorist faction that may or may not be coming through. And, you know, it's just an example for me of buying into the fear and kind of
sort of xenophobia.
It's
if you're from this area, you know, he's not saying just give these people enhanced screening, because that would make sense.
He's
to
saying,
some
like,
level.
Right.
But he's saying, no, just we'll just stop it altogether.
Yeah. Well, until these new things are put into place. But again, to my point, who knows how long that's going to be?
God.
You know, it could be. And everybody else coming in, it's going to already have, you know, he's like, oh, increased screenings for them too. But for these 30 targeted countries, they're really just like on lockdown. You're not allowed in at all.
I'm just curious. In World War II, when there were Jewish refugees that wanted to come here, people don't realize this. Americans were against Jews coming here to flee the Holocaust. That was not like we were. This is a very similar situation. I don't know. Were people concerned that the Jews were secret terrorists too? The people that wanted to flee. And I mean,
they were German after all. Who knows? They could have said that they were Jewish and been
German.
That's
the same thing here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're saying here. They're saying, hey, these young Arab men of fighting age, you know, they might be refugees. A lot of them probably are, but some of them might just be secret terrorists.
Right.
And maybe some of them are. I mean, I'm not saying they aren't. I don't know. But it seems like quite the broad brush to paint over just these certain geographic areas.
And also, I mean, come on. They've already got these. You know, since 9/11, there have been pretty stringent security measures already put in place for background checks for people that are coming into this country. What else are they going to do? If you've got somebody on a terrorist list, the FBI should already know about them, right?
Donald Trump's got an idea.
And if, what's Donald
Trump's wall.
Idea?
Build the wall.
Build the wall around everything.
Check your facts while you build it.
But it's like, you know, if they either have them in the system and they're known as a terrorist, or they're on some sort of watch list, or they're not. And if they're not, I don't see how any sort of increased screening process is going to get anybody screened out that would come in here anyway that's not known to them or using a fake passport.
It doesn't make any sense. You just send some drones over and just follow them for 5 years. And then once you confirm that all they really do is like go to 7-Eleven and play soccer, then you say, all right, you're good.
They just have to ride a drone to work every day.
I mean, but it is a serious issue because, I mean, they're I don't know the answer. Look, even in a quote unquote perfect libertarian society, people can form communities, people can form city states, and within those, they would want to have some level of security. So it's not to say that, you know, it's against, you know, government should not have any role for security. If you're going to have them, then that is a legitimate function of government. At the same time, I mean, I'm completely pro-immigration. I want people that want to come here and to work or whatever to be able to do that in a reasonable way. That doesn't mean they can use other people's property to do that. But if someone has an arrangement with a family, this is what it was, what the first thing I thought of. I mean, what if people have family in the U.S. and they want to flee Syria and they have a house? I mean, their family has a house. Says, come live with us. So we're in America. We're good to go. Yep. You're in Syria. Come here. Like, those people should be allowed to come.
Yeah,
I mean, there shouldn't really be much stopping that at all, I don't think. If you can verify the family here.
Not under this new bill. They will be stopped. They will not be allowed to enter.
And Rand is going to stop them at the border.
Rand's going to be there in person. He's going to have, he's gonna get some giant foam arms that just stretch out about 10 feet on each side and just hug people and not let them in.
All right, so I'm guessing from the general tone here that you gave this a...
I gave it a minus.
I also give it a minus. I mean, I'm not opposed to examining screening and thinking about better ways to maybe identify bad guys that might come in here. I'm totally in favor of those reasonable possible steps. But this does seem like a little bit of a xenophobic overreaction to one event. Although I'm sure he had something like this in place already. This is a new bill?
No, this is a new
something
bill.
He just discussed. All right.
Yep, this is a new bill.
I mean, I've seen him say before, like, we should give extra scrutiny to people from certain areas. And I'm not even opposed to extra scrutiny.
No, me neither.
Extra scrutiny.
I'm fine with that. Go ahead and scrutinize them. You know, that's fine.
The 10 question, are you a terrorist?
I still don't get how much extra scrutiny you're going to do. I'm sure if somebody's coming from Iraq or Iran or Pakistan or Syria, that they're already getting very, very screened. Like, I just don't understand what more you're going to do that you need to go through this and say, oh, yeah, nobody can come in anymore. You know, so I just think it's ridiculous.
All right.
You have to wear a tracking device up your ass for next, you know, 4 or 5 months before you come up.
It's one suggestion. That might be a reasonable measure.
Yeah, all right,
so that's a double minus there.
Yeah. So there were some, you know, some nice highlights, though, from this last week. One such being Rand Paul challenged Bernie Sanders to a direct debate, capitalism versus socialism.
Yeah, I've seen this going around for a few months here. There was the idea being floated out there, and I guess Rand was recently on a radio show and actually said, well, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, he actually called him out, because I think before it was more like people like us saying, we'd love to see that.
That is what it was, basically. It was just like I think there might have been an online petition or something like that.
It was a movement by the people.
I guess he actually addressed it on a radio show.
Right, exactly.
And he said, sure. Yeah, that's right.
It was like, I want to say it's like Idaho or something. So, probably Iowa. So, but yeah, he came out and said, come on, Bernie, let's do it hour long. And I have to think that this would just be fantastic television. I mean, I just because you know Bernie would get so fired up and it'd be so fantastic. And I just have to think that Rand would completely mop the floor with him with his economic knowledge and just the simple facts of how things work out and who's going to pay for it. I would pay, you know how Bernie Sanders could probably pay for healthcare by charging a pay-per-view to do this debate, because I would pay at least $50.
Hey, that could be one idea of how to pay for it.
That's how you do it. Free college for everybody.
And look, we give Bernie Sanders a lot of flack, and we did, I think, on the last debate show.
He deserved it.
For some good reasons, yeah.
But he had some good points, too.
But at the end of the day, but when you compare him to, like, a Hillary, I mean... His, maybe, if you just look at, this is more socialist, like, yeah, maybe Sanders is worse, but whatever. Hillary's more fascist and a liar, so whatever. I mean, I would rather see Bernie Sanders actually achieve success in this Democratic primary than the other two, if I had to.
Well, agreed.
But, I mean, that's not going to happen.
No, it's pretty much a done deal. Bernie Sanders is already dropping like a stone. I don't know how. We discussed it in our Democratic debate. Like, Hillary's got this way of, you know, saying nothing at all, but people are like, the casual person just like, oh, what a sweet woman. My God, what great ideas. And she's saying
fantastic.
Nothing. She's flip-flopping on every issue. So actually, I'd love to see Rand Paul debate Hillary directly up so he could call her out on, you know, all the horrible legislation Bill put in place, all the time she's flip-flopped on all these different issues. You know, I just would love it. Maybe that would actually wake some Democrats up to the reality of who Hillary Clinton is.
Yeah, but the people watching the Hillary debate are, I mean, the hardcore Hillary supporters are... They're Hillary supporters, and they're not going
to
change.
Yeah, there's no way to change it.
And then that's why she's going to be president. I'm predicting it right here,
yeah.
Right now. I'm not happy about it, but it's a reality that I'm 99% sure is what's going to play out.
Having read The Secret and not believing in it, But I still, you know, in the back of my mind, I don't want to say Hillary will be president. Lest I manifest it and through the powers of string theory or whatever it is, it'll make it happen.
Let's stay up at night envisioning John McAfee as president. That'll be the most, man.
I stay up at night envisioning John McAfee doing a lot of things.
And then we're going to do a weekly John McAfee plus or minus show. We'll have to come up with a name.
We'll figure it out later. We got in trouble trying to think of a name for when I run for president. So, and that challenge is still out there.
All right.
I issue it again.
If you can think of a name for the podcast we do analyzing Brian's own run for president in the future that he will also, I guess, co-host and produce?
Oh, of course.
All right.
I'm not taking a break from podcasting.
Paul Us.
Yeah. So anyway, Paul Us for...
I don't know why we would call your ups Paul Us's, but...
Paul Ups, lessons? I don't know.
All right. Time
anyway,
to move on.
Paul Us for Bernie and Rand debate. I'd love it.
All right, there's two more quick items we're going to hit because I think they're both very important and for different reasons. Start with serious or silly? We'll start with serious because we can end with silly, and that's always a good way to close things out. What happened here with this fellow in this Ashley Bell? He is a prominent GOP and black leader. I don't know if he actually holds a position of power, per se, in the government, but he's a leader.
Yeah, and he's basically, I think he's just looked to as, you know, kind of a leader in the black community. He's an attorney in Georgia, but, you know, a prominent conservative, black conservative.
I'm shocked because I didn't know anyone had backed Rand Paul besides, like, J.C. Watts. So, the fact that he was switching his stance from Paul to Rubio.
News to me. But it got some coverage, you know, especially locally. It got coverage that he was withdrawing his support. And let me harken back to a couple of weeks ago when I wrote about the, you know, Rand retaking the justice reform movement, because Rand had come out and there was saying the GOP should be involved. If there's ever a forum or a town hall run, you know, like Black Lives Matter forum, the GOP should be involved. Which is a great sign, you know, especially considering he had kind of dropped the justice reform movement. You never heard about it in the debates. He never brings it up, despite the fact that he's the front runner when it comes to that. So.
Not exactly the topic on the minds of the GOP electorate. Criminal justice reform and, the plight of the black community, sadly.
It's right there in the footnotes
and
of Rand's all
just
of their
like,
plans.
Hey, should we even? No? Okay.
Nobody cares about this? Okay. No, right. Moving on. So. This is what makes this move by this Ashley Bell so confusing, because Ashley Bell, his big thing is justice reform. So you'd think he would say, okay, you know, Rand Paul is really great on justice reform. I should stick with him. But he didn't.
And meanwhile, Marco Rubio is a strong proponent of the war on drugs.
Loves the war on drugs.
He is sort of, kind of, maybe, possibly open to, and I wrote a whole article on Marco Rubio breaking his liberty values, which there are very little of, down. And he is basically sort of, maybe can kind of be possibly convinced that medical marijuana could maybe work somewhere in some states. But basically he says there is no reason that recreational marijuana should be illegal at all. And, go war on drugs.
Yeah, so go war on drugs. No intention to change the drug laws.
He is one of the causes of the plight of the community that Ashley Bell is, you know, supposed to be representing.
Precisely. And that's why it was so shocking, this guy. And the reason, he didn't even cite any specific reason. He didn't say, I mean, it happened after the ISIS thing, so it makes you think that it's got to be related to Rubio's stance on national security. But the guy comes out, he goes, you know, I just want to support a campaign that can continue to talk about the core values and, you know, and things they stand for. It also raises a campaign that's national. So I guess he's just looking at Rand Paul and he's saying, I don't think you're going to be able to win. So
maybe it's because he hasn't really talked about the criminal justice reform stuff in a while, like you just mentioned.
But he didn't say that. And he still can't. I mean, he's the only one in the GOP that's calling for a Black Lives Matter, you know, to be involved in it. I don't even think Ben Carson is calling.
Your very hard hitting scholarly analysis at the end of this piece here. You say, long story short, Ashley Bell is an idiot who betrays his own goals and principles to chase quote unquote a winner. But that's what he's doing, right?
It is what he's doing. Yeah, precisely.
So you're right.
He's backing the new golden child of the movement. So you know, hell, Ashley, you have one. Your biggest thing, justice reform. You just throw it to the wind.
Is Marco Rubio going to be the GOP nominee?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I have to think that Trump is going to flame out. Carson's already flaming out.
I don't think Trump's flaming out at this point. I'm not sure if he'll win, but Oh, yeah, Carson's done, I think.
Yeah, Carson's
I don't even know. People, I think, are waking up from their Carson coma.
Yeah.
What was that? Which is something you can get into by listening to Carson for more than 10 seconds.
He never uses anesthesia during his neurosurgeries. He just talks for a little while and everything falls asleep.
Are you guys going to give me the gas? He's like, well, no, in my practice, we do not need gas because... Oh, he's out. All right, let's go. Anyway, so this is obviously a minus, though, right?
Oh, it's a huge minus.
Clearly.
Yeah, it's and you know, it's like
both for Ashley Bell and for Rand Paul.
Yeah, I mean, independently, you could say who gives a shit about Ashley Bell, but you know, at the end of the day, it's losing a member of the GOP. It's in the African American community. That's, you know, that could indicate not only to the other African Americans, hey, maybe we should look elsewhere, but also it just might be indicative of a bigger trend where people are saying, Paul's not going to win. So, you know, we've given him a chance until now.
Yeah, they went with their principle and what they really believed in the beginning. And now they're starting to make some political calculations. Right. They don't want to be the guy supporting the guy who gets, like, you know, 2% in Iowa, which, yeah, I don't think Rand Paul will do.
I think he'll do better than that. But that's the thing, is it's, you know, these people are switching ahead of time. It's like, at least wait till the votes are in. Because I think Rand's been getting stronger as he's going along, especially in the debate. So it's, you know...
Hey, maybe they just straight up bought him off. I don't know.
It's possible.
Like, I mean,
Rubio's got his own Jesse
classic
Benton.
Like briefcase in the parking lot, yeah. Parking garage style. That's what I want to believe happened.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on to our last piece, which, I mean, this is
the best,
possibly the biggest slam dunk of all time, right?
It is fantastic.
So what's up with Rand Paul and pants?
Well, let me just tell you.
Are we prophetic on this show?
We are. This is clearly the universe is stamping our hashtag Randy Pants.
With approval.
Keep it going, people. Randy Pants. Stamping with his approval. And here's why.
Was that the first episode of Rand Paul as a minuses where we came up with that?
I have no idea.
It was the first
honest.
Or second. It was early in our historic run.
I can barely remember the beginning of this podcast. Very you can't true. Ask me to think of other podcasts.
You're probably still a little
It takes me a while to warm up. The audience can probably tell. I was so tired when I came in here. Like, I'm like, it's like swimming, you know? It's like I'm slowly drowning, but then I figured out how to swim. Started the doggy paddle.
Drowning in a sea of Rand.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to call my first album.
What was this rant, what was this pants thing here?
Okay. So Rand speaking to a bunch of students, and I can't remember where, but I'll just tell you, he was speaking to a bunch of students.
We're not here to hear facts.
Basically trying to talk about healthcare and rights and what you do or do not have a right to, you know, as your natural liberty and natural human rights. So he's talking to his kids, and what he said is that government was instituted among men to protect your rights, not to create rights. So you don't have a right to a chair. You don't have a right to shoes. You don't have a right to pants.
And that's the one BuzzFeed really had to run.
Right. That's that was like in their headline. And of course, you don't have a right to health care, which is true, you know? So anyway, I loved that kind of equating, saying, look, you know, health care is this giant thing. And everybody says, oh, everybody should have health care. But why? You don't have a right to health. You know, like the government doesn't have to give you socks. Why should it have to give you health care, which costs so much more? And I liked it.
Well,
so.
The argument will be that no, the government doesn't have to give you socks because you don't need socks to live, but you do need health care.
Do you need health care? I mean, it's certain people might need health care.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
a good point.
That's the thing. Is
not
it,
everybody
it's
does
not
need
equal
healthcare.
Under the law because different people are getting a larger or smaller benefit. How is that equal for everybody? You could say, I guess they have equal access to it, but as far as breaking down, you know, actually what people are getting. People are getting vastly more, you know.
You know, I'm sick of them blaming old people for the healthcare problems because my dad is, I'm not going to say old, it's like a dirty word. He's older than us by a significant amount, but he's one of the healthiest people I know. It's unhealthy people that are within a semi-quasi-socialist system that are crushing us. And, you know, when you say healthcare is free, when you say you don't have to worry about it, well, that creates a situation where people don't maybe think about their health as much. Hey, it's covered. Whatever.
No, that's a very good point.
You know, why should I have to pay for someone else's bad decisions?
Right, especially when you're the healthy. If you're taking care of yourself, all you're doing is paying for other people's bad habits and or, you know, people do get diseases, you know, that and that's, you know, tragic when they do, of course. But still, you're paying for this tiny minority. It kind of goes back to, you know, with the Syrian refugees, you know, and this bill Rand's creating, again, targeting legislation based upon a tiny minority that somehow gets ballooned up to affect a mass majority of people because of the effects of this bill. You know, so it's like same thing with healthcare.
And I have no problem if people want to voluntarily chip in to cover each other's healthcare costs. That's literally what I do with health sharing, with Liberty Health Share, and what our friends at Health Excellence Select do. Yeah, that's right. I got a sponsor. sponsorship plug-in. But I mean, there's good, you know, people always say, oh, you don't think people should have healthcare? No, I just think people should, you know, come to these things in a voluntary way, and they shouldn't be done by the force of government, an institution who in theory should be there to protect our property, not to take it and redistribute it in whatever ways it sees fit.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it's not even doing that now. It's actually forcing us to go through these massive companies to have them pay for other. I mean, right. it's just a total
forced,
mess.
But, forced crony capitalism is all it is now.
We could, and I have, and I will do more shows on that topic specifically. So for now, I think this is a very obvious.
Paul Us.
Yes.
Hashtag Randy Pants.
I feel like Rand is clearly listening to this podcast at this point. He's clearly realizing that this hashtag has the potential to take off and really get trending. And he said, you know what? I'm going to toss something out there. I'm going to mention pants. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to know that these two guys are going to find this little article, and they're going to run with it.
That's right. And you know what? I guarantee a 1% increase in the polls.
The polls are
going
up.
You heard it here. I'm making my claim. It's got a stamp of approval.
All right, folks. And next week, what is next week? Next week is Thanksgiving week, and we're going to get together with our good friends at the Johnny Rocket Launchpad for a little Thanksgiving meal.
I'm terrified. I'm terrified for what's going to happen.
It does sound. Expect some cursing. That episode will absolutely be labeled with an explicit. And unless Brian says something in the next few seconds, this one won't be because
I did have an S bomb.
Nah, those are fine.
Dauber can edit out.
If I didn't notice it, then it didn't happen. That's basically what it is. So, guys, it's that time of year. There's a lot of bad news going on in the world. There's Paris. There's all sorts of negative stuff coming in, but it's Thanksgiving week, so we're going to try to bring you a positive experience next week. So we're going to have a fun show with our friends at the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. And until then, folks, I've only got one request for you, and that is, of course, to live long.
And live free! What are you going to bring to the Johnny Launchpad? What are you bringing? What dish?
Just one like turkey leg. I'm gonna walk in with it.
I like
and
it.
I'm just gonna chew it the whole time, not sharing it.
I'm gonna bring one of those.
And a mug of gravy that I'm gonna drink after every bite.
Sounds awful, but also delicious in a way.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Mug of gravy. Right. Hashtag mug of gravy.
Thanksgiving. Good night.
Adios.
Head of editing and mastering is John Dauber.
Contact Johnny53@gmail.com.